to read just three scriptures to you, but there are ever so many more that cluster around these, but these three scriptures will be enough to introduce the subject. You remember last week, I talked about the closed and the open heaven. Well, we'll continue along that line, but in a different angle today. John chapter 1, verse 10, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and they that were His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Now, chapter 9. This is the chapter about the Savior opening the eyes of a man born blind. And after He does this, a discussion arises about it. And in verse 39, this is what He says at the conclusion of the matter. John 9:39. And Jesus said, For judgment came I into this world, that they that see not may see, and that they that see may become blind. Those of the Pharisees who were with Him heard these things and said unto Him, Are we also blind? Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, We see. Your sin remaineth. And just the next book of Acts, turn to Acts chapter 26. This is Paul giving his testimony before royalty, and he's telling what the Lord Jesus said to him from heaven. It says in verse 16, 26:16, But arise and stand upon thy feet, for to this end have I appeared unto thee, to appoint thee a minister and a witness, both of the things wherein thou hast seen me, and of the things wherein I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in thee. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that we have souls and spirits. We are aware that there is more to us than the flesh that surrounds us. But our Father, we know so little about this soul and spirit. And yet thou hast told us in thy word all that we need to know about it. Thou hast told us concerning our souls, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And thou hast told us about our spirits, that you are spirit, our God, and you must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father, for the explanation of the invisible things, things that somehow we are aware of, and yet we understand not. We pray that from the scriptures we've read this morning, that light shall be shed upon us, that we might be able to understand. Apart from thy spirit working in hearts and empowering lips, nothing shall be accomplished of lasting good. So grant that, and our Father, we would be clean to serve thee. We confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Give us a good hour together, we pray. in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I told you last week that when man sinned at the beginning, he was cast out of the garden, and the entrance to it was shut. And God was determined that man would not get back in. And he put these cherubim there with a flaming sword turning in every way. The garden was closed, was shut. And then I told you that from that moment on, the heavens were shut. One time in the Old Testament, we read about the heavens being opened. But when they are opened, only judgment from God is seen coming out of the heavens. And I told you last week that once Christ came upon the scene, the first thing that happened as he's introduced at his baptism to John, because this was the way that John was to understand that Christ was the Messiah. I knew him not, but God told me this. And when he was baptized, it says the heavens were opened, and the Spirit of God descended in bodily form as a dove upon him. And the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So, the heavens were open. When sin came in, they were shut. But when Christ came into the world, the heavens were open, and man who had been shut out was given an opportunity to be restored to fellowship with God again. But, whereas last week I told you about the physical things that were shut, because heaven is a place. It is locatable. I cannot tell you where it is. I've never been there. The Apostle Paul was caught up to the third heaven. Some have been there. I've never been there. But some have been there. It is locatable. And the heavens were shut. And I told you about the Garden of Eden. That was shut. And when God made a tabernacle, that was shut. All of these physical things we can understand, because if our parents went to the garden and wanted to get back in, they would see that it was shut. And they looked to heaven, they were shut. They saw nothing. And when they went to the tabernacle, God had put a veil there saying, "Stay out." That was shut, except to the high priest once in the year. But not only was man physically separated from God and shut out. And not only was the garden shut and the tabernacle shut and the heaven shut, but all of the being of man was shut as well. Let me tell you something that is a paradox. Would you believe that when sin came in, the Bible says that when they partook of the forbidden fruit, their eyes were open. You say, that's strange. Their eyes were open, and they knew good from evil. Their eyes were open. But at the same time, here is what you have not understood, that when their eyes were open as to good and evil, their eyes were shut as to their understanding of God. They became spiritually blind at that moment. You say, well, why would the Bible say their eyes were open? Because it speaks at times in the Bible about whose prowess is their shame. There are some people who excel in the area of shame, and in like manner, there are some who excel in understanding evil. And it says concerning the heart of man, every imagination of the thought of man's heart was only evil continually. And here is what you find in the New Testament, that there is not only the spiritual, physical shutting of things, but at the same time, there is the spiritual shutting of the entire being of man. And that is why I read to you from John's Gospel, and also from Acts chapter 26, so that you might understand about the inner being of man being shut, as well as the heaven being shut, and God illustrates it in a physical way so we can understand it. That is why I read you from chapter 9, John, and I read you also from Acts chapter 26, to let Christ himself explain to you about the spiritual closing within man, as well as the physical closing that he experienced when sin came into the world. And all the scriptures I could have read you would have told you about the eyes of man being shut. I read you that. About the ears of man being shut. The mouth of man being shut. The understanding of man being shut. The scriptures being shut. Everything you read about in the New Testament, now it is found closed and it must be open. I could tell you about the heart of man, and it says the heart of man is shut. And so everything that at the beginning was open, man not only had physical eyes that were open, but think now of the statement that I told you. It says that when they ate of the fruit, their eyes were open, and they understood, they knew about good and evil. It couldn't have been their physical eyes, because their physical eyes were open, but there were eyes within them that opened, and they became acquainted with evil, that until that time they knew absolutely nothing about. And the eyes of man being opened to evil, they were closed to the goodness of God. So when a man is born, he is born spiritually with his eyes, his ears, his mouth, his heart, his mind, his understanding, his entire being is shut. And I can show you this from the New Testament just as plainly as I showed you about the heavens and the tabernacle and the garden and all the other areas that were shut when sin came into the world. That is why I read you, first of all, showing you that there is the physical and there is the spiritual that goes along with it. What do you think of those who saw the Lord Jesus Christ open the eyes of a man born blind, and they did all in their power to make that man not be one who was born blind, but they could not do that. They went to his parents. They said, "We know he's our son. We know he was born blind. How he sees, we cannot understand." They went to the blind man that was seeing, and they tried to get him to disavow his blindness. But he said, "I know this much. I know that I was blind, and I know that now I see." And so they said, "Well, tell us that the man who opened your eyes was a sinner." He said, "I can't tell you that." They did everything in their power to set aside the miraculous opening of a blind man's eye. And after it was all over and they were unsuccessful, the Lord Jesus, considering all of those who were trying to do this, who were fighting against light, who were resisting the truth, all of them who were doing that, the Lord Jesus uttered this enigmatical statement. He said, "For judgment am I come into the world, that they that see may become blind, and that they that are blind may see." That's strange, isn't it? That Christ came into the world to blind those that see, and to give sight to those that are blind. Now, even though there was a dullness and there was a resistance in the hearts of those to whom Christ was speaking, they said this, "Are we also blind?" They knew he was talking about spiritual blindness. The Lord Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, your sin remains." Now, isn't this remarkable? Here was a man that was born physically blind, but now he sees, and here are some that see physically, but the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You are blind." And all of this is a paradox, and yet you think it through, and it explains what I am telling you that is invisible about man, but is true about man. And the very mission of Christ when he came into the world was the same mission of the Apostle Paul when he was saved on the road to Damascus. And this is what Christ said. He said, "I sent you on this mission. I sent you to open the eyes of the blind, that they may turn from darkness to light and receive forgiveness of sin. What does it mean that Paul was sent throughout the world to find blind people, physically blind, and open their eyes? That has nothing to do with it. Here are those that are having a controversy with Christ, and they can see as well as you and I can. And yet the Lord Jesus said, you're blind. If they had acknowledged that they were blind spiritually, then the Lord Jesus said, you would see. But you say, we see, therefore you are still blind, and your sins remain. And what Christ has done is this. He not only came into the world to open the eyes of a few physically blind, but he came into the world to open the eyes of every man who is by nature spiritually blind. And had I had time, I would have shown you the scripture how in every instance, in every physical instance, eyes that were blind were opened, mouths that were stopped and dumb were opened, ears that were stopped and deaf were opened, hearts that were closed were open. Minds that were closed were open. Every physical and every spiritual part of man, the Lord Jesus Christ has power to operate on and make it what it should be in the sight of God. And God lets him do it physically to verify that he has power to do it spiritually. If I say to a man, your sins are forgiven, you now can understand God, you could laugh at me and say, I've seen no change. For that reason, when the paralytic was let down into the presence of Christ, he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And at that moment, his sins were forgiven. But the Jews didn't believe it. They said, this man blasphemeth. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And the Lord Jesus said, that you may understand that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, I'm going to show you. He said, arise, take up your bed, and walk. And this man that was physically paralyzed rose and took up his bed and walked, verifying that Christ had forgiven him spiritually. His sins had been forgiven, and he had been cured spiritually, as the Lord Jesus demonstrated before their eyes, that he had been healed physically. And they were filled with madness because they could not contradict. And this is what he has done throughout the entire New Testament. He has gone and touched those parts of man that physically have been afflicted and have opened those parts of man, that you might understand that he can do the same for you spiritually, because you have not ears to hear the voice of God, and you have not eyes to see the beauty of God, and you have not a heart that will receive God. You have not a mind that can understand God. In other words, apart from the intervention of Christ, man of himself is hopeless and in a ruined, destitute condition, and nothing can be done about it. But when the heavens have been shut, had Christ appear upon the scene, the heavens were opened, and the heavens that would be eternally shut against man were now opened because Christ appeared. And in like manner, all of the spiritual closings of man's being, because Christ appeared, can be opened. And that's the hope. Now, this is what I want to show you, the remarkable reversal of what was done in the first instance. In this instance, here is God who formed a garden, a special environment for man. And man, in his innocence, is in that garden, and God comes in the cool of the day and communes in fellowship with man. They walk together. They converse together. And then sin comes. And I went into details about this last week. I'll only tell you this. Then God drove man out, and he said, you are not coming back into my environment any more. And so God drove man out, and man was not admitted into the presence of God. That is why I read you from John chapter 1. It said, the Lord Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So, this is the reversal, that God, who had driven man out of the garden and would not let him in, God is so concerned about man, he says, I will come down to man's sinful environment and seek admission into his life, his being. And God, who for every righteous reason drove man out of that original environment, he comes down to man and he seeks admission into man's life, and now man has put up as strong a barrier against God coming into his life as God had put up against man coming back into the presence of God with sin. That's the remarkable thing. It says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so here is man that is driven out, and he cannot get back to God. And so God comes down from heaven, and he says, I am going to seek to enter into you. Because God wants to be in man. He wants to fellowship with man, and yet man will not admit God into his presence. And this is the thought that arises. Well, all of this could have been avoided if God, who made man in the first place, had made him so that he could not sin. I see. If God had made man a robot, none of these things would ever have happened. Well, would you like to be a robot like that? Having no power of choice? Having no power to choose good or evil? You say, of course not. A robot is much inferior to man. I see. Well then, God knew that. That's the reason that he did not make a robot. But he gave man power to choose. You say, well then, why, when he gave him power to choose, did he not make it so that his choice would always be for good? Because you've made another robot. Don't you understand that? Anything that God would do other than what he has done, you would resist and rebel. If I said to you, you have no will, you have no power of choice, if God took that away from you, it would infuriate you. But God has given you the power of choice. And when his Spirit comes into your life and draws you, you can choose the good. Apart from the intervention of God, you will never choose the good. But you have the power of choice. And when God draws you, then you can choose good or you can refuse good. And that is what the Lord wants you to know. He has made it so that man has the power of choice, and yet the choice he made in no ways renders God responsible, because had God done anything else, you would have accused him of making me a robot, of not giving me independence. You would have risen up against God about that. And so God has made you as you are with the power of choice, and yet the choice that you made was your own responsibility, and God is holding you responsible for the choice that you've made. So here we are. And just as man found himself on the outside of the garden, the door shut and he could not get back in, the sad thing is this. When the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven and came to earth, he came into the world to save sinners. He seeks admission into the hearts of man, and man says, "Keep out." And so, you're going to accuse God of not letting you back into the garden. Well, God is now going to accuse you of not letting him into your heart. You have no accusation against God. God is seeking to restore the fellowship, but this time, not letting you come back into the garden, but God leaving the garden and coming out and coming into your heart and into your life, and you resist him because you have that power of refusal. And this is what the Lord is sending forth his servants to do. He is sending forth his servants to open your eyes so that you can see. your ears so that you can hear, your mouth so that you can sing praises to God, your mind so that you can understand, and your heart so that God can come up and take residence within you where he should be and where he wants to be. But the Bible says this, he came unto his own. He put man originally in a sinless environment. And man failed, and he was cast out of that. And so Christ came from heaven, where there is no sin, into the world where there is sin, and now he seeks admission into the heart of man, and man says, I don't want you in my heart. Because what it says in John 3 is this. It says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And still, the Lord Jesus is seeking admission into your life. Let me show you how plain it is that man shuts God out, that he does not want Christ, that Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. The first sermon that Christ ever preached, think of this now. Here is a man who has been a carpenter, and yet he has been anointed of God to go forth and publicly declare the glories of God. And he stands up and gives his first sermon where he was brought up. And it says when he got through, the people were infuriated. And they laid hold on him. And they led him out of the city, and they were going to cast him over the brow of the hill to kill him. But the Lord Jesus miraculously escaped. You say man's heart is good. Man would let God in if God would only come. I tell you that God the Son has come and seeks admission into the heart of man. And when the truth speaks the truth, man would put him to death. All right, let me give you another illustration. Here is a herd of swine feeding. And a poor demoniac is cured of Christ. And he takes the demons out of the man and permits them to go into the swine, and the swine run down a hill into the waters and are drowned. And then the owners come out, and they find out what has happened. And they look at the man that was the demoniac, and he's seated and clothed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. And they say, what happened? And the owners of the swine are told, and they say to the Lord Jesus, would you please depart from our waters? I see. And so God, because of man's sin, drove them out of his sinless environment. And now, because of Christ's righteousness, driving sin and Satan out of the heart of man, man says to Christ, will you please get out of my territory? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Do not tell me that the heart of man is good and is open to God. The heart of man is hardened. It is an adamant stone. It is closed. And they have told him to go away. And I will tell you about another one. One that is probably the best known apostle in the New Testament, Peter. When our Savior enabled Peter to catch that miraculous draught of fishes, Peter said to the Savior, he said, depart from me. For I am a sinful man, O Lord. You see, they knew that Christ was sinless, that Christ was holy, that there was something supernatural about this man, and even one who is going to be his apostle, he says to Christ, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. That is why man does not want to admit Christ into his heart, because his heart is sin, and Christ is light, and Christ is sinlessness, and Christ is holy, and he will not admit man into his heart. Why? Because there is a barrier between the heart of man and the admission of God as effective as that cherubim at the Garden of Eden barring its entrance, and God is showing it. Now, he says, the eyes of man are closed. Here are the learned ones, the Pharisees, and they say to Christ, are we blind? Those that knew, like Isaiah, would not ask that question. Here is what a man who has acknowledged the light of Christ shining into his heart. This is what he would say, "Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." That is what they would cry. But now, in their self-righteousness, they say, "Are we blind?" And if Christ said, "Yes, you are blind," they would say, "We are not blind." If Christ said, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see." And that is what man does today. He says, "We see." You do not have to come and tell us about God. We see. The Lord Jesus came from heaven, the manifestation of God on earth. God manifests in the flesh, and he says, "You are blind." And man says, "We see." And that is the illustration that man's eyes are closed, just as much as the blind man's eyes were closed in John chapter 9. And Christ has to work upon the eyes, the spiritual eyes of man, to open them, as much as the eyes of a physically blind man must be worked upon to be opened. And that's what he did. He opened the eyes of the blind. And I will tell you this, that it says in Acts chapter 16 that there is a woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, and God sent Paul and his associates down by the river, and as they listened to the apostle Paul preach, it says, God opened her heart, and her heart has been closed. You understand? You say, well, not only hardened sinners have hearts that are closed, but religiously inclined people, they have hearts that are closed as well. That's why it says that God opened Lydia's heart, and her heart was closed. But whereas man left to himself is in a hopeless condition, when the grace of God works upon man, then that heart can be opened and God can be admitted into the heart of man or woman or any creature. But up until that time, the heart is closed and the eyes are blind, and they're blind from a threefold reason. God can overcome the first, that you were, as David confesses, because of your birth, you were born blind. But that can be overcome. Whereas, when the light comes, if you refuse the light, that cannot be overcome. And at the same time, if you continually refuse the light, God will send a blindness upon you that is irrevocable. And that can never be overcome. But it does not matter what you are by birth, by nature, by practice. All of that can be overcome until the time comes when God seeks to open your eyes and open your heart, and you resist the overtures of God. And if that is persisted in, it says God blinds the eyes. He lets you remain in your original condition, and he makes it impossible for you, because you never could without his assistance, to ever see at all. Now, isn't that a sad thing? Here is one who has the Bible, and he's reading it. He's a eunuch from Ethiopia, and he's reading Isaiah 53, and Philip joins him. And Philip says to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man confesses, thank God for this confession. He said, "How can I understand what I'm reading unless somebody guides me?" He is confessing that this is a closed book unless someone assists him. And Philip, guided by God, begins at Isaiah 53 and tells him about Jesus. And then the darkness and the closed book, the darkness is dispersed and the understanding of the book is explained. And the book is opened, as it says in Luke chapter 24, when Christ was going along, it says, he opened unto us the scriptures. Here they are. It is true. But they need explaining. And when they are explained by God's instruments, then the book becomes an open book, not a closed book. And all is well. And the Ethiopian eunuch, who was blind and without understanding and incapable of understanding this book, now has understanding, and he goes his way rejoicing, knowing that his sins are forgiven. Why? Because a spiritual work has taken place in his life, and he has experienced it, and instead of bewilderment and hopelessness, there is now hope and understanding and joy. And that is what Christ wants to do. And you may consider every part of man, your understanding. And it says this in Luke chapter 24. It says, He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. They said, why, of course. How could it be that a man is going to suffer and a man is going to enter into glory? Once Christ explains it to them, it becomes crystal clear. And they say, why, of course. And so Christ opens understanding. Every impediment that is in man to resist the admission of God into his heart, all of this is overcome by the omnipotence of the Savior in saving sinners. He was sent from heaven. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that is that work at which he excels, and there is no sinner that Christ cannot save and will not save if you will open your heart. This is what it says in Romans 10 and 9. That, it says, if we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so your mouth is opened and you confess Christ as Lord, and your heart is opened and Christ comes in. And applying it to us, the Lord Jesus says this today, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. God has driven you out of the garden and will not let you back in. But now Christ has left heaven and has come to your little world, and he wants to get in. By God's grace, do not shut him out. Open your heart. Let the Savior in. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, how great is this one that thou didst send from heaven, enabling you to open again something better than Eden, heaven itself, and sending one from heaven who will come into the heart of man, restoring and elevating the fellowship that man once had with you. We rejoice in this. Thy Son hath done all things well. He causeth the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, and our Father, he saves sinners and gives them a heart of joy and a purpose in life and hope for eternity. We pray, Lord, that while by nature and disposition our hearts are shut, by thy Spirit draw us, and let those hearts be opened, and let us admit the Savior. Our heart is his home, rightfully his. Grant us this, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.